This show is a proud member of the Nerdy Legion Podcast Network. Get more at nerdylegion.com. Enjoy the show!
Spoiler alert! What Did You Watch This Week is a candid discussion about recent movies and TV shows, and it may contain spoilers if you haven't watched them yet. Listen at your own risk.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to episode 130.
Yeah.
What did you watch this week? My name is Mike.
My name is John.
How you doing?
Pretty good. A little tired. How about you?
Doing all right.
Yeah.
I'm going to take a 100-question final exam after we're done recording
this. Oh, nice. True, false, multiple choice, fill in blank?
Fill in the dots.
Oh, okay, yeah.
Some are true, false. Some are trick questions.
Mm.
It's probably going to take me a little over an hour, I bet.
That'll be fun.
It's on the whole unit.
Yeah. I'll be doing something with my whole unit.
Jesus.
Oh, yeah. This is how I keep myself awake. No.
So we talked about Michael Cera last week.
Yes.
What the hell's he up to?
Yeah.
Martin said he's on Broadway.
Yeah.
Aaron then mentioned he's up for a Tony. So he's still
acting.
How much
do you think he makes, like, shaking that cup every day for change?
I don't know.
Out there on Broadway. You think he comes up with quippy little signs, you know, instead of just, like, homeless will do anything for money?
I think he's actually acting in plays on Broadway, not panhandling.
I bet he plays the quirky character in every one of them. Probably. I can't imagine him being, like, the strong love interest or, you know, the vengeful suitor.
Maybe he's out doing some busking with his sweet guitar skills.
That's possible. Yeah.
Maybe he's working in a banana booth.
Yes. Yes. The money is in the banana stand.
Yep.
I put all the money in there.
Hey, so I watched episodes 2 of The Simpsons and Family Guy.
Oh, yeah.
The Simpsons was just...
It was forgettable.
Yeah. Yeah. It's evidently they watch a show called Amazing Place.
Yeah.
Like Amazing Race and Survivor combined.
Yeah.
It was... Meh.
Homer and Marge go on it.
Yeah.
Marge is devastated because they lose the first challenge because she couldn't find the thing, the tag-along in the suitcase, and then she feels guilty the whole time and can't enjoy the hotel that they're sequestered to because...
For 6 weeks, yeah. Until she finds out from watching edited footage that Homer found the item and then ate it.
It was a chocolate bar.
Hey, Marge, a chocolate bar. Oh, oh, oh.
Yep. Yeah, so he screwed the bowler.
He did.
Yep. A Family Guy.
Family Guy. That was funny.
Husband's Restaurant.
Yeah.
Oh, you can't see it because you weren't married before.
Yeah.
It looks like the DMV otherwise.
I like it when Brian exhales and just gets super fat.
Yep.
All over. And then he gets hip dysplasia. And he's sick and you know, and his wife is like, well, I guess I got to take care of you like you took care of me. And then there's the scene at the restaurant where he's thrown up on the floor and she's cleaning it. And then he just starts throwing up on her.
Mm-hmm.
That show is going to be so vile.
Yes.
But hilarious.
Yeah, so she decides, well, it's time to put him down.
Yeah, he thinks he's going in for surgery.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
No, he's being put down.
He's going to have him put to sleep. And then he goes, she's like, well, you were going to let me choke to death on those chips at that restaurant. Yeah, okay, maybe I did. And then they go through this whole bit where, like, maybe they deserve each other.
Right.
Because she was going to have him killed. He was going to let her die. You know, they're both kind of pieces of shit. They deserve each other.
Yep.
And then they come back from commercial break, and she's dead.
Yeah. So sad that she died over the commercial break.
And Brian's skinny again.
Yep.
And then we finally see Meg.
Because, you know, it's Meg. Right. She's just forgotten.
Also in this episode, Stewie and what's the dumb son's name?
Chris.
Jason Crow. They take up vaping.
Vaping.
Yeah. Because it's douchey.
Yeah. They want to look like douchebags. Mission accomplished.
It does look like a douchebag when people vape.
Oh, it so does. It so does. I see a lot of, like, Instagram models who do it to, like, look sexy. Like, oh, look at me. No, you look like a fucking tart.
Yeah. Basically.
And then Lois was, like, making fun of him. She's like, I'm smoking a cigarette like a normal person. That's some faggy little douche.
And I'm not a douche. Yes, you are here. Let me take your picture. And then he shows his picture. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Oh, my God, I am a douche.
Yeah. That was a good start to the season.
Yeah.
Those two episodes.
Yep. I enjoyed them. Well, yeah, for that show. Simpsons? Yeah.
What else you watch?
Well, we should say that we're recording this on a Wednesday night. We have not really watched anything this week except for This Is Us, which we watched just before.
We just watched it with my wife, yeah.
But otherwise, like, any of the shows that came on Monday or Tuesday, we have not watched.
No.
Because...
So, like, we talked about, like, for instance, The Good Doctor. We talked about the most last week's episode.
Yep.
But we haven't talked about this week's episode.
Right.
Because I haven't watched it.
Right.
It was just on two nights ago.
Same thing with Manifest. Like, we talked about the two
episodes. My wife did. She said it was excellent.
Oh. Actually, I hadn't watched the second episode, and you told me that it got better, and it did get better.
Yes. Okay, so we'll talk about that.
Yep.
There was nothing really new that came on the second half of last week.
No.
I don't think so. This week there is.
Mm. This week we're picking up some CW shows again. Flash was on last night.
Yeah, which we were a little busy last night, so we didn't watch Flash.
Right.
Oh, we got Flash last night.
Black Lightning, which I'm still watching for now.
Yeah, Walking Dead came back.
I stopped watching that a couple of years back.
Okay, I wasn't sure.
Yeah.
I don't give a shit about
it. It's not that great.
What else? Supernatural comes back.
Yeah. Okay.
and then this Sunday is Charmed and Supergirl season 4.
Yes.
And then next week is Arrow.
I have set Charmed to record.
I don't know what I'm going to do.
I'm going to check out the first couple episodes, see where they go with it. I've been pleasantly surprised before.
Yep.
I've also been horribly misled before and really hated what I ended up watching, so it could go in either direction, or it could just be one of those that it's like, meh, whatever. Ah, there's the secret. That's how you're going to get through that test.
Yeah.
Monster energy.
I got to take it tonight. I actually brought this with me last night.
This episode of the podcast brought to you by Monster Energy.
No, it's not. I don't condone.
You're chugging it like you condone it. You condone it!
I actually like the taste.
Yeah.
So Manifest.
Manifest, yes.
Episode 2.
Yep.
What'd you think?
I really liked it.
Yep.
I liked the haunting music that was going through.
Yep.
I like you had said, that the teenage daughter is the only stable, intelligent, rational one.
Yeah, she really is.
You know? She's not like freaking out like, oh, you gotta tell him. She's like, Mom, you gotta tell him. This is like legit. You really have to do this because he deserves to know.
Yep.
So, yeah, we're still recording.
Okay.
But I liked the concept of the music that he kept hearing, and it kind of inadvertently it led him to one of the other passengers who was playing it, and he said he couldn't get the song out of his head, which helped him get that guy to visit his son at Rikers because that's something that, you know, they touched upon here was, well, okay, so this guy was a dad and disappeared for 5 years. His son was left to fend for himself.
And his son ended up, you know, kind of becoming a criminal. He had a couple other things, but he was in jail for a robbery and he swears he didn't commit this robbery.
Right.
And he was working at like a jewelry store and it got robbed and cleaned out. And basically, you know, the son and the owner and his son is like, look, He gave us a fake name for him to get hired.
Mm-hmm.
He was the only one here. They used his code to get in and out. I mean, we had no choice.
Yeah.
Of course. So, in the interim, going back, the kid there, who The crazy lady grabs him on the street, screaming, "He has risen! He has risen!" Like the kid's Jesus Christ.
Yeah, yeah. The petulant little kid who wasn't happy with the giant. I'm sorry, that would have been about a $150 Lego set that his mom got him. You know, and he was pissed because it didn't have minifigs in it.
It wasn't his stuff. Yeah. That was the thing. No matter what they got him, it wasn't his stuff.
Right.
And finally, like, the sister, the one that's the reasonable one, says to Dad, come with me.
Yeah.
And so she takes him to storage units.
Yeah.
And they open a storage unit, and she goes, Mom was just set on the side of the street. She wanted was going to get rid of it. Though. You know, and I took it before it could be picked up. And then he sees, like, scuba gear, and he goes, whose storage shed is this? And I don't remember if she said his name, but basically
she didn't.
She just told him, he's Mom's boyfriend.
Yeah.
He's a guy that's in our life. He's a great guy. He's helped us out. He's the one to help me bring this stuff here. And so they got a box. They got the brother's stuff.
Yeah.
And brought it back to him. Yeah. Of course, at that same storage shed, he finds out that Julie's son robbed the place, had all the stuff in there.
Because he hears the music, which is the ringtone.
Which is the ringtone of the phone, yes.
Yeah.
So he finds it.
So that was very conveniently wrapped up. Like, it didn't stretch out at all.
No, you're right. It didn't stretch out at all, but they solved this one this time. And it seems like next time they'll solve another one or whatever.
By the end of the episode, the kid was out of jail.
He was, yes. Yeah. Wrongly convicted. Yeah. And the real criminal was put in jail. Yeah. Also, on the other side of the story, let's see here. Michaela, which I hate that name, by the way. It's Michael with an A on the end. It's like, hi, I'm so self-absorbed, and I want a son so bad that I name my daughter after me, and I just put an A on the end of her name.
Davina.
Yep.
Philippa.
Yep.
Jonna. Not Jonah. Jonna. Yeah. Tony was married to a Jonna.
Oh, yeah?
Yep.
Interesting.
I asked him. I was like, was that because, you know, it was like the female version of me? But no, it was not.
No, because they got divorced, and you guys are still friends.
That's right. Yep.
Anyways.
Take that, institution of marriage.
That's right.
Anyways. So, yeah, it was kind of weird, that woman running up to him and screaming about he is.
Yeah, that was a little creepy.
Yeah.
So,
and more of the religious aspect of things.
Right. So, anyways, Michaela finds that her best friend, Lourdes, which is also Jared, her exes, you know, they had been engaged. They ended up getting married. And it was her best friend. And so when she came back, she was torn because the one person she wanted to see the most would be her best friend. And she can't because she feels betrayed.
Mm-hmm.
Because to her, it's been a blank. And to them, it's been 5 years. And they moved on. And then they met each other. And probably they loved each other or fell for each other because of her. Because they went to each other to grieve about her loss together.
Yeah, he said. He was like, she was here, and she was, you know, she took care of everybody for years.
It's not like she just moved in on the second she was gone. And then Michaela sees the Facebook page, a memorial of her, and the only one that posts is Lourdes, and she posts all the time.
Yep.
Like, on her birthday, da-da-da-da, you know, like, oh, I only wish I could get her blessing for this, for the engagement ring. I mean, everything.
Yep.
And so she goes to her and doesn't really say, like, I'm sorry, but kind of does. But basically she says, look, I'm having a hard time still, yada, yada. But, you know, she kind of does say, she lies and says that she was going to tell Jared that she was calling it off.
Yep.
Because she was having second thoughts. And Lourdes knew she was having second thoughts.
Yep.
And she said, I was going to come back to tell him that I was calling it off.
Which makes Lourdes feel better, because then she's like, oh, so you were going to break it off anyway.
Yes.
So it's okay that I'm with
him. And then we cut back to the plane, and it shows her texting, you know.
Yes.
Yes. I accept.
Which was the scene from the first episode where he's like, oh, no signal. And she's like, me too.
Right. And it never gets sent through.
Yep.
And then she gives Jared back the ring.
Yep.
Insert, he bought it at Jared joke here. So that gets wrapped up.
Yep.
So they're kind of moving things along.
Yep.
So Mom's boyfriend, now this is the part that bothered me the most. When you have Ben and then his wife, and she, you know, hasn't told him yet, but now the daughter's told, and so he's like, look, I understand things happened while I was gone. You can do anything about it, but we have a second chance. We need to make this right. And so she strips naked.
Yeah. Like, literally, just like, here's my body. sex to it.
Yeah, I didn't like that.
No,
I didn't. Because she's clearly been with somebody else. And the daughter knows.
Yeah.
And the daughter's not even mad at her for being with anybody else. She, again, she's the sensible one somehow in this. The 14-year-old.
Right.
Or 15-year-old.
Yeah, I think it's like 14.
Yeah, 14 or 15. So, I don't know. Then you see the picture that the kid drew.
Mm.
Okay? And there's, it's a family. Who's, you know, you have like, who's that? I don't know. And you have like, you know, mom and dad and him and sister. And then you see a shadow figure behind mom. And
literally just a humanoid that's all colored black.
Right. And so one would lead you to believe, oh, that's mom's boyfriend. He can sense there's somebody else. However, Kate's theory, my wife's theory is, it's not that. It's we have that one outspoken person who keeps getting on the news, and she's talking about government cover-ups and what happened to them and on and on and on.
She's not going
to
do that anymore, is she?
Well, because she got shot in the back of the head.
Yeah.
Yeah, right. Is the closing scene is her blood splattering all over her TV after getting shot in the head.
By a shadowy figure.
By a shadowy figure. Because
we see the shadow kind of glide across the wall and then
whoosh. So my wife's thought is that, ooh, that shadow in the picture, that's like the devil, or that's the bat. That's not.
That's the final destination, catching up with all of them.
Kind
of,
yeah. That's not like the unknown boyfriend. That is.
Yeah, that's where I'm going as well.
Yep.
Could be a complete MacGuffin.
It could be, but who knows?
Yep.
The shadow knows.
Yes. Nice. Nice.
Let's see, what else for shows did you watch? I didn't watch. I guess none.
What?
Yeah, what else did you watch?
You didn't watch Superstore?
Oh, I forgot. Yes. I watched Superstore and The Good Place.
Okay, I was going to say, there's a couple of them here that we can.
Well, you know, I don't know why I don't have the notes in here. Maybe I just forgot to make my notes. I watched them at work, so I very well could have just forgotten to make notes. And sometimes I go back and make notes after.
Yeah.
I'm at work when I watch them on my tablet, and I watch both of those on my tablet.
So The Good Place, we finally got to see, you know, the team trying to be better people.
Yes.
And, God, I can't remember his name. What's his name?
It's just Michael Ian Black.
No, it's not. Anyway.
Michael Scott.
Scott Wolf.
Yeah. Anyways, the guy from The Bad Place.
Yes. He has infiltrated their group, and he's basically fucking with them completely.
Oh.
And passive-aggressively.
Oh, massively, yes.
It's wonderful to watch. Because that's his whole point. He doesn't want to just, like, make them all implode.
Yes.
He wants to convince them all to scatter to the wind so that they're not together, so that they become bad people again.
And it's kind of working. Because he gets Eleanor not to come back to group.
The brainy bunch.
Yeah. He gets Eleanor not to come back to the group one day. And Michael's trying to stop him. And then I like it when the doorman shows up. Oh, good. The three of you together. Come on. The judge wants to see you.
Yeah.
And they go back, and the judge basically is like, hey, I didn't give you permission to go down there. I see you go down one time and not interfere, and you're not doing what I told you to do. And then the Bad Place guy tries to get on her side. And she just flicks him off the thing. So he's done. He's gone already. Yep. I like it.
Yep.
And then when Janet was in the real world, she kept trying to blink stuff in, but she couldn't.
Because she doesn't have powers there.
And then all of a sudden it like buffered and caught up to her while she was back in wherever they were.
Yep.
And it all started appearing. And that's what gave them the distraction to get out. And then the doorman gave them the key because, well, he got them the mug with the frog on
it. That's right.
And I like it when the judge finally caught up and he just goes, they got away.
Just so blown.
They got away.
Yeah, his name is Adam Scott.
Scott, all right.
And, yep, and Trevor is the character that he plays.
But, so Michael and
Janet,
I couldn't think of her name.
Back on Earth.
Are back on Earth, but we don't know where they are.
It was fun watching Janet try to be a waitress.
Yes.
And not be able to blink.
Yes, because she's like, gives me a round of beers. Okay, I guess I'll have to go get them.
And she's all frustrated, like she has to do manual labor. She has to walk.
Excuse me. The judge also said that they would just be merited on their own. And if they're going to go to the good place, they will, or the bad place, they will. But you two are going back to the bad place. And she's like, my uncle will be destroyed, and I'll be deactivated. And she's like, oh, well.
Yeah. So they're basically fleeing for their lives.
Yes.
And it's not just that they're, like, trying to be obstinate. Because they know. If they go to the bad place, they're done.
I like the show, and I like Janet, but I really want to see – I don't want to see Janet not with her powers.
I know. Because she's so much more fun that way.
Yes.
Just being bizarre and weird. And
in love with Jason. So it was great.
Yes, it was.
I enjoyed it a lot.
And then Superstore came back.
I enjoyed Superstore, too.
Did, too. Typical Amy.
Okay, you know. Hold on. The opening. With very pregnant Amy working at the truck stop.
Uh-huh.
And Glenn coming in with his hat down, pretending to be a truck driver.
And trying to talk in the deep voice.
Or it's the deep, weird Glenn voice. And Amy just not acknowledging who he is. And he gets a cup of coffee and always pays for the 20 and this and that and everything and then leaves.
Never drinks the coffee.
Never drinks the coffee. And she always puts chocolate. She put chocolate syrup in it. Did you see that?
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. I just thought it was funny.
It was funny. Because she basically says that she's able to go back to her job.
Yeah.
So she's going to be heading back there. So you almost think like there was something dark and noir there. Because
yeah.
You know, the whole place is dimly lit. But no, then they go right back to the Superstore.
Yeah, she's back there working. Yep. Yeah, they return to work. And Jonah gets no flack whatsoever. Oh, yeah. Jonah gets tons of flack. Like, everyone's joking about him. And, you know, he's shredding that ass and on and on and on. And then Amy, nothing. No one says a word to her.
Right. They don't ridicule her. They don't poke fun at her. They don't, you know, ask her about it. They don't, ooh, how was it? And she goes crazy from that because she wants attention.
Like, well, no. Well, she wants to be treated just like Jonah's being treated. You know, if you're going to say something, I think what it is she's expecting people to say shit and they're not.
Right.
So she has that really,
she's
like,
ready to fight, but she can't.
But she can't because no one's saying anything. She has the meeting where she drops all these, like, good, like, setup phrases, like, that, you know, about everything sex and the different departments or something, and no one's hitting them. And she's like, at first she's like, oh crap, I didn't mean to do that. And then now then she's deliberately putting them out there and no one's teeing off, you know?
Yeah. Driving her a little nuts. Dina is looking very pregnant.
Yes, very pregnant as well.
And it was interesting too, because they went this whole episode and, you know, that was the story, was Amy, you know, trying to get people to notice, and Jonah being like, look, you know, relax. And people were like, you know, well, are you guys going
to get together?
We're all set.
Yeah.
You know, she's like, I'm pregnant with my ex-husband's child. This is not the right time. And they were very convincing.
Oh, yeah.
Until the very end.
Right. Well, what was it? Somebody even said something. I don't know why they're not together, because clearly they're meant to be together. Like, people want them to be together, too.
Yep.
And they're still saying, no, no, no. And then at the end, all right.
Meet up in the parking lot.
Yeah, so do you want Italian or do you want
Chinese
tonight, you know?
Yeah, and he goes to kiss her, and she's like, whoa, people can see us out here. So they're trying to keep it private, but and they're doing a good job, well, so far.
Right. You
know, that might be the running gag on the next episode.
I don't know. All I know is that I enjoyed it.
Yes.
I'm glad it's back.
Yes, me too.
What else did you watch?
Well, I'm still enjoying Kidding. You know, the Jim Carrey show?
Yep.
It's been renewed for a second season. We got to see a brief clip in the beginning of this one where we saw young Jeff Pickles playing hockey, and his father was coaching him from the side and was telling him, don't you put up with that shit. Don't you put up with that shit. Kick that kid's fucking ass. Destroy him. And Jeff does. Like, young Jeff gets on top of this kid and just starts pounding him, and it was really weirdly done from a film perspective, because you got the kid sitting on top of him and go bam bam bam, but then when you see the other kid, it looks like he's punching freeze frames of a photograph. Like, you see the fist come down and it's just like this, like a photograph of the kid going, and blood's flying out, and then after a little while we just get the peaceful ice rink and there's a blotch of blood on the ice, like the size of a kid's head. And you get to watch a Zamboni just go over it, and it kind of smears it. He has a lot of pent-up anger.
Yeah, he clearly does.
Yeah, and he tells the woman she's dating now that he has a lot of pent-up
anger. Oh, he's dating someone now?
Yes. He had that whole thing with Ricky Lindholm, but before he saw her, remember I told you that there was that woman,
okay,
the cancer survivor?
Yes, the one that he went and banged?
Yeah,
and then now she wanted nothing to do with him. Oh,
yeah.
I thought she wanted nothing to do with him.
She didn't, but now she does, because apparently he was persistent and he wants to help her. So,
I saw this on someone else's Twitter, and anyways, you were talking about that episode last week where Ricky's sitting there watching him, and they do this whole montage where it shows time going by and that everything's changing, the TV's changing, this and that and everything. Well, they released a video of that scene Like, and I saw it on Twitter, and I shared it to you, I believe.
Yep.
But that was one take.
Yeah.
One continuous take, and you got to find this. I shared it to John's account, so you can probably go to his account and see it or see it on my account or whatever. It's amazing.
Yeah, because you basically get a top-down camera view of the set while they're doing it. So, like, you know, you see side-by-side what the viewers saw. Yes,
exactly. They do a split screen, if you will, but it's a top and bottom.
Yep.
Yep.
And what the viewers saw and what was going on in the filming. And they got one guy with a rig on his chest with a camera.
Yeah.
And he's walking slowly, you know, and he'll pan over to this. And, like, you see her come in off the side of the screen with a dog.
Yes.
And then that's what we saw.
And they're following her doing that. And then at the same time, behind them, they're changing everything around and adjusting it and this and that. And it was amazing.
The coordination they must have had.
Yes. You know, and it was a dance.
You're going to move this.
Yeah. It was a dance.
And with changing, a lot of people.
And her changing her clothes and going on one side of the set, coming out the other side of the set. And my favorite is when they go through the whole thing and it finishes and then you have the one screen go to black, showing they're done filming, and they wait like a few seconds, which I'm like, oh, they're checking to make sure it did, and then everyone cheers.
Yep.
That was awesome.
That was
cool. Like that was really cool. That to me, that's movie magic right there.
Yes. Yes.
You know what I mean? That's movie magic. Because I watched some of the older stuff. Like the Three Stooges or Charlie Chaplin or like that old stuff with the camera tricks and this and that, or even coming into newer. And it's just like that to me seems way cooler than someone who just spent hours doing something on the computer. You know, I get the computer makes it great. You can do a lot of things. I'm not discounting that. But then when you see a scene like that with all those people doing that and then it comes out flawless like that, that's so cool.
Awesome.
Yeah.
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 I watched the second episode of A Million Little Things.
Okay.
And it is good. It's still rather drama filled, but we got the answer right by the end of the episode.
Yep.
John, the guy who killed himself, had left a voicemail. He called Eddie.
Oh, left a tape recording.
Well, no. He called Eddie. It was the last call that he made.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah, you're doing the 13.
Yeah, 13 reasons why.
He called Eddie right before he jumped. And Eddie hasn't listened to the voicemail because he doesn't want to hear it.
Right.
But he finally does by the end of the episode. And basically, John says, I didn't want to get a voicemail. I just wanted to ask you a favor. Just love each other. And then he hangs up. So he knew that those two were sleeping together, that they were having an affair. And he was happy about it. It was basically going into more of the, you know, one of the black guy's wife had a restaurant at one point and it failed and she never felt good about it. So he bought her another restaurant, put her name on it, but also made the other wife there the co-owner so that she'd have a business partner so that it wouldn't fail this time. And, you know, the daddy-daughter dance is coming up. And his teenage daughter is the typical angsty teenage daughter. You know, my dad's gone. I don't want everybody to think of me as the girl whose dad killed himself. And, you know, she's all upset. She still wants to go. And she asks Eddie to go with her, you know, the guy who's sleeping with her mom. But she doesn't know that. And he's like, I can't do this. And the mom's like, no, you can't do this. That is absolutely wrong. You cannot do this. I know we're sleeping together, but that is ridiculous. Well, she's all upset because the daughter's all upset. She's like, you know, he didn't have a plan for me. And, oh, but he did because he was taking dance lessons from the black friend. And that's who taught him all the moves. That's who taught him the entire routine. So he already knows the routine. So he goes up there and dances with her. And everybody loves it and claps and applauds. So, you know, she was happy with that. It's not a bad show.
Mm-hmm.
I'm enjoying it, but.
Did we talk about episode two of New Amsterdam last week? I don't think so. I don't think I had watched it yet.
I don't think that we did.
Did you watch it?
Yes, I did. Okay. Yeah, that's right. You hadn't watched it yet, and I told you there was more Tyler Labine.
Okay, so in this episode, Tyler Labine and the Indian doctor, Kapoor, there, they take a school district court over medication of a child.
Yeah.
And essentially, they want to take him off the meds so they can find out what's wrong.
Because he's on a lot of meds.
Yes, he is. And he beat the crap out of some kid in school and then got him all medded up on all these different meds. And one's an upper, one's a downer, one does this, one does that. And they all gave him diabetes and that's not why he's wetting the bed and on and on and on. The hospital is becoming a Mary Sue.
Because it can do everything?
Because the friggin' hospital has a jail.
Mm-hmm.
It has a rectory.
Mm-hmm.
giggity. Yeah. It has a courthouse, apparently. The hospital has its own courthouse. And Tyler Levine's character goes to great lengths to explain why it has one.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah. It's got a farmer's market inside it now, apparently. It has, we got the jailhouse. It's got a school.
Yeah.
Remember the school for all the troubled kids?
Yep.
Yeah. The hospital's becoming a Mary Sue.
Yeah. It's...
Yeah.
It's one thing, like, Sacred Heart was a good hospital for scrubs.
Yeah.
There was a lot of scenes in Sacred Heart.
Yeah.
And then in their apartments. And yeah. maybe that one bar. Right. But it wasn't everything. Like, it was a hospital.
Right.
That was what it was. Right. This should just be a hospital.
This hospital has...
It's basically a city.
It has a prison wing.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's its own confined city.
Yeah.
It has a prison wing, you know, and it's got a schoolhouse, it's got a church, you know, chapel, rectory, it's got a fucking courtroom. I mean, I saw that and I'm like,
yeah.
I mean, I don't want to dislike the show, but the hospital itself.
Where's the rocket launch pad?
Yeah, I'm sure it's got a helicopter.
Where's Scrooge McDuck's money bin?
But it's just, it's a little absurd.
Yep.
It's a little absurd.
Is. Yep.
So. That being said, I actually still like it.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, well, it was a good episode.
Yeah.
His wife can't be stressed out. So, of course, he can't tell her that he has cancer and is going to die.
Right.
Because that'll put undue stress on her.
Yeah, while she's pregnant.
While she's pregnant. And we found out the reason why she's pissed at him is because, like, you know, he was supposed to take it easy and slow down after the Chinatown hospital he rebuilt.
Yeah.
And instead he takes on an even larger project and is selfish instead of being there. And then, of course, you know, now he's got the cancer.
Yeah. But she doesn't know that.
And instead of slowing down and, like, taking care of himself, he's not.
Nope.
Because he's too busy with his patients. So. And then we find out that, what's her name? The black doctor from...
She was Martha Jones?
Martha Jones, yeah. We find out that, she can't handle talking to patients because she cares too much.
Yeah.
Or she's kind of a Sally. I don't know. Either way.
It's a thing. She cares too much. And
you know, when you're...
Can't get invested.
Yeah. And she clearly gets invested easily.
Yep.
Anyways, that being said, I did like the show. You know, but the hospital is... It's, you know... I can't wait to see what new function they add to it this week.
A lap racetrack.
Right. Who knows? It's got an Olympic pool in the basement.
Mm-hmm.
Or on the roof.
Right. Or both.
Right. So.
I watched the first episode of God Friended Me.
Oh, that's 100% pass for me.
I actually liked it.
Sure.
Basically, the main character... He's trying to launch a podcast and make money. Apparently, there are people out there that can make money on podcasts.
Yeah, I've heard of it.
Somebody asked me that the other day. They were like, oh, you're going to record the podcast. Now, do you get money from that? And I went, oh.
God, no.
No.
No, we just do this for fun.
No, no. So, he's trying to get his podcast.
We don't even have t-shirts like other podcasts do on the Nerdy Legion Podcast Network.
Wow. No, we don't. No. So, he's trying to get his podcast picked up by Sirius. And
I believe you.
Oh, dad joke.
Hold on. Not as bad as the dad joke from New Amsterdam.
Which one? You're losing them. Losing the audience.
Yeah, I don't. Something about an elephant. Remember?
My God! Yeah,
that was so bad.
It was bad. God, I don't remember what it was, but yeah, it was...
Okay, I'll do a different dad joke. Knock, knock.
Who's there?
Cow goes.
Cow goes who?
No, cow goes moo. Saved it. Anyways.
So anyway, he's trying to get his podcast picked up by Sirius. His big thing is that his father is a preacher. His father is head of this church, and he doesn't believe in God because... we find out in the episode that basically his mom got cancer and he prayed and prayed that God would save her and she went into remission and he was thrilled. And that day on the way home from the hospital, she got in a car accident and died. And he was like, there's no God. Because why would this happen? Why would you let her get remission and clear the cancer only to die in a car accident? So he has lost all of his faith, and then he gets a message on his phone that God has friend requested, some account called God. It sent him friend requests. And then what it does is it sends him friend suggestions. And it's one of those 6 degrees of separation kind of thing.
Oh, okay.
You know, so he gets a friend request for this guy, and he's like, I don't know who this is. And he bumps into him. Like, as he's looking at his phone, he bumps into the guy and stops the guy from getting hit by a truck.
Because
the guy
was walking out the street. Early edition, rip-off.
There's a lot of them like that.
Yeah.
So basically he saves the guy's life, and the guy's like, oh, thanks, and just kind of wanders away. And then there's this other woman, and he kind of talks to her, and she doesn't want to hear it, and then she kind of does because she's supposed to be writing a story for her magazine, and sees a picture, and turns out that her mother, that she's estranged from, was the nurse of his mom when she was going through her chemo. And so he convinces her. He's like, why don't you go talk to your mom? You know, no, she walked out on us. I don't want to talk to her. He's like, no, go talk to her. So she goes and she talks to the mom. And the mom's like, I don't know what to tell you. I wasn't strong enough. I left. And then she sees that mom now has a new family, you know, because the little daughter shows up and goes, mommy. And so this main girl runs off down the street. She's like, you know, she does the tizzy thing. Oh, and she runs off down the street. Bam, gets plowed into by a car. Oh. Yeah. She's not doing so good. She's laying there on the street.
She doesn't sound like she's doing good.
Yeah. Another car stops to help, and he's like, I need a doctor. I need a doctor. It's the first guy whose life he saved, and he turns out to be a doctor. Except he's not a doctor because he hung up his robe or his lab coat that day because his wife had left him and he was getting sued and everything was going wrong in his life. So he just kind of decided not to be a doctor. Then this guy saved his life. Now he was able to be there to save her life. Everything happens for a reason. Everything's connected. So, yeah, I like stories like that. It doesn't necessarily have to have a religious bent to it. But I like the ones where it's Touch was like that. The one with Kiefer Sutherland and the kid.
Yep.
You know, how one innocuous thing can lead to the butterfly effect.
Butterfly effect, yeah.
But in a positive way, not okay. A kid throwing a puppy in a bag on a campfire.
Yeah, that seems bad.
That was in the butterfly effect.
Yeah,
that was terrible. So,
as bad as the sequel.
No.
No. Sequel was very terrible.
Yes. So, yeah, I'm definitely going to keep watching that one.
Okay.
Until it gets canceled in 3 weeks.
Designated Survivor got saved by Netflix for some reason. So we watched This Is Us Monday night.
Yep.
It's called Katie's Girls.
Yes.
So this is the episode where Kate's going to go have her surgery
And
have eggs removed. And it's also the episode where Randall's really going to rack up the frequent flyer miles.
And, you know, I've flown before.
Yep.
It's a fast way to travel, but...
Not as fast as he traveled.
No, my God. I mean, like, in one day, basically, he went from New York to L.A. to New York.
Yep.
And had time in between to, like, have heart-to-hearts with Toby and Kate.
Right.
Go check on the girl who got her arm broken in the hospital.
From the street he doesn't live on.
Right.
Where he's going to be... Run for council now. Which,
yep, he's going to run for city council.
Which seems odd because he doesn't live there. Granted, he does own property there.
Yep.
But he doesn't live there. But maybe that's all.
Maybe he lives in that city. You know, city council.
Well, no, because he lives an hour away.
That's true.
Yeah. So.
That'll be interesting to see how that works out.
His wife lost her job.
Yeah.
After 12 years at the firm, she gets laid off because.
The other two are more valuable than her.
Right now.
Yeah. And we got more foreshadowing. They never showed us another flash forward.
Nope.
Like, you know, we've got to go see her. But we got a flashback to William talking to Randall's wife.
Yes.
Basically telling her, you know, that she is the rock that holds the family together. But at some point, it's going to come a time when she needs to shine and Randall needs to be the rock. And he's like,
yes.
And please do me a favor. And do that. Make him be the rock. Don't just sit there twisting your wedding ring like you're doing right now, where you're basically wondering why you got married.
Which she basically does.
Yep. Because he's like, I've got to run for city council. And she's like, I lost my job today.
And that's about it. That's all she says. Because they don't even really get a reaction from him on that.
Nope. Oh, but she's twisting her ring.
She's definitely twisting that ring.
Because, you know, that's the thing about these Pearson kids is they suck people into their wakes, and you better be a strong swimmer.
They really do.
You know, Toby is getting trounced around, and he tried to reach out to Randall.
But he got cut off when the nurse showed up.
But he was
the doctor
making an effort. He actually told him, you know.
Yeah.
He was talking about Randall's anxiety, and he's like, boy, I'd never picture you with anxiety. And he's like, well,
depression.
That's what we do.
Oh, anxiety. And that's when he says, I have depression.
Yeah, he's like, I take medications for depression. And Randall's like, I never would have guessed that of you. And he's like, well, that's what us men do, you know, mimicking Randall. And he's going to open up to him and basically say, I'm off the meds. He said that the world becomes a very dark place, and he hopes Kate never has to see him like that.
Which is tremendous foreshadowing what Kate is going to have to see.
Yep. But again, this is all about Kate.
Right.
You know, and it's all about Randall
and then
Pearson kids.
And then the other story is with Kevin.
Yep.
And the episode opens with Kevin's movie, the premiere, and Randall's crying and Kate's crying and everyone just cheers and claps. And even Randall's wife is just like, Kevin, you're a movie star, which is high praise coming from her.
Absolutely.
And he's like, oh, wow. And then he goes and does this NPR interview and, you know, the interviewer asks about, you know, like, your dad was in Vietnam. Did he see combat? And that's when Kevin basically realized he knows nothing about his dad's life in Vietnam.
Yeah.
So his journey this episode, which, again, like, the thing they go back is they're all craving the approval of their father, which it doesn't
they
seem like.
They always had it.
See, that's the other thing. I was just going to bring that up. Yes, he died when they were 17, but they always had his approval.
Constant approval.
Yeah. Like, he seemed to be, like, the greatest dad on the planet who never did anything wrong towards his kids.
Right.
And he made mistakes, whatever. And, yeah, they still seem to crave his attention and approval, unlike he was never there for them, which is not true.
Yeah, Randall has that whole speech at the end where he's like, my dad was a superhero.
Yeah.
And, you know, he saved my life the day I was born, and he always was moving. He was always moving forward, and I can't just sit here. I can't just stop because my dad wouldn't do that, and I can't do that either. And his wife's basically like, fuck, you're dragging me in again.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, so Kevin's going to spend, looks like this season, or at least a few episodes, I would wager, trying to look up guys in his dad's unit to talk to them about his dad. And we see him email a fella at the end of this episode, and it's Mac from Night Court.
Yeah. I like that his girlfriend there, Beth's cousin, called him on the board that he had put up. Because he like had the little window thing and he was putting up pictures and he wrote Vietnam on a piece of paper at the top. She goes, oh, it's a good thing you put up the word Vietnam. You know, that really pulls it together. He's like, well, that's how they do it on TV.
Yeah.
Yeah. It doesn't seem to be helping. No, it doesn't help at all.
I like that as well. But I like this aspect of it.
Yeah.
I'd like to know more about that. And then the flashback we got was Jack. It's how Jack and Rebecca kind of got together.
And we got to find out who that guy was that met up with them on the
Stoop and was kissing. It was Rebecca's ex-boyfriend.
Yeah, basically. They dated for 3 years. He was the one smart kid because basically she was in home ec and didn't want to be in home ec. She wanted to go to Woodshaw. And all the boys were making fun of her because she couldn't do anything.
Yeah. And so he came over and helped her.
Yeah. How stupid is that?
Very.
Yeah. There's one girl in Woodshaw. Do you really think that all those prepubescent boys would be like, we got to make fun of her? No, they'd be like,
I don't know, back then probably, yeah.
You've seen the woman. You've seen Mandy Moore.
I have.
Yeah.
But again, back then, that was, you know,
peer pressure, man. I don't know, man.
Peer pressure.
But yeah, it was a touching story. It was kind of dulled a little bit because you know they're going to end up together.
Right, right.
But basically, kind of unexpected twist was, you know, while she's talking with this guy's family and they're, you know, oh, we love you so much. Oh, it's so nice
talking to
see
Malcolm's
you.
Mom.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Jane Kesmerak.
She's basically like, I met this guy. I've known him 4 hours, but I have a feeling. And this guy's mom's like,
go for it.
Yeah.
But contrasting that is Jack rescuing his mom from domestic abuse in a very easy way.
He basically tells her, like, either you pack your stuff and leave with me now, or I'm going to kill him either way it ends today.
Yeah, yeah, he's like, one way or another, this ends.
Yeah, and when he said, I'm going to kill him, his dad was even like, I think he means it.
Yeah, because Dad didn't have a retort for that one.
He didn't. No. Nope. He didn't.
He kind of...
But come on, how big of a dick? All right, she makes him a sandwich, and it's...
It looked like a nice sandwich.
It did look, and it's got... He throws it on the floor, goes, what is this, pickle heaven?
Yeah.
Make it again.
Make like, me another one.
Just hand-pick a couple pickles off Dick.
Yeah. Yeah, that was a complete dick move.
Because the opening we see is, like, Rebecca as a little girl actually watching her mom be Miss Susie Homemaker. And, you know, when Dad walks in the door, supper's going to be ready. She's got her makeup and her hair done and on and on and on. And he walks in and passes her hat and briefcase. And he goes and sits down. And then later on, you know, he's sitting there watching the news with his coffee and or TV. And she's doing the dishes because she's all domesticated and stuff. And Rebecca's like, that's not who I am. That's not what I want.
Right.
And I was thinking about it while we were watching that, and it's like the only person in my whole life I knew that was like that was my Nana.
Yeah.
And she was a housewife of the 50s.
Yeah.
And that's and even when I was a kid, you know, in the 80s, staying late 80s, early 90s until Papa passed away, her husband, that's how it was. That's what she did, and, you know, Papa went to work and attended to the house and the kids or whatever, and when he came home, like, we ate dinner at like 4:30 because that's when he came home.
Yeah.
We had dinner then. It was just absurd, by the way. But he'd get home from work and, you know, we'd have dinner and that's what she did.
Yeah.
So that was a good episode, though.
It was. It's a good show.
Yeah, it's a great show. It's a great show. You said you watched Big Mouth.
I watched both seasons of Big Mouth.
Well, I remember last year, like a year ago, telling you should watch this show.
Yep.
It's good.
And honestly, like I was telling you, every time I saw the thing on Netflix, you know, I'd scroll by it. I added it to my list. But every time I saw the animation, I was just like, oh, this looks dumb. You know, I just didn't like the animation style. It looked like it was really cheap and cheesy. But I saw that it had a second season. I was like, all right, if it made a second season, Mike seemed to like it, I should just check it out. I'll just put it on the background. I fucking laughed my ass off.
Yeah, it's funny.
It was funny. It was realistic. Jason Mantzoukas is a fucking comic genius. I just love.
Yeah, he is.
Love him so much. Now, you've only seen the first season.
Yeah, I haven't watched the second season.
The first season is great. You know, you've got Maurice, the hormone monster. And I don't remember her name. The Monstress, you know. Jelly beans.
I don't recall either, but yes. Yeah. The love interest, I guess.
But basically, these kids have hormone monsters that they're not even bad. Like Maurice will regularly, he'll be like, oh my God, look, she's bending over. You can see her cleavage. And he's like, yeah, I know. He's like, come on, let's go find a broom closet and jerk off. And he's like, okay. You know, it's not like he's forcing the kid to do something he doesn't want to do. Although sometimes, you know, he'd be like, oh, why do I have a boner now? And he's like, are you kidding me? Look at that. It looks like tits. You know? So it's realistic, but like way, way blown out of proportion.
Oh, yeah. Big time.
You know? It's so good, though. It's so realistic. The second season, though, honestly, blows the first season away.
It's better.
They introduce a new character called the Shame Wizard. And the Shame Wizard even takes over for Maurice. Like, he puts Maurice in his place.
Oh, nice.
The Shame Wizard basically goes around and makes everybody feel shameful about what they do. You know? Masturbation, you should feel ashamed for that. Having an erection, you should be ashamed. And it's this British guy who does the voice.
Oh,
and
nice.
He's like creepy. He's got like one eye that's different color than the other eye. And he just, like, he can appear and disappear. It is so good. Holy shit. I love this show. I wish that they had five more seasons of it on right now.
Maybe they'll have more.
I'm sure that they will. It was so well done. This season, like, you really... Now I'm going to pitch to you that you need to watch the second season. Anybody out there who likes humorous stuff, who likes the comedy of John Mulaney, Nick Kroll, Jason Mantzoukas, Jenny Slate... You got to watch this.
Jordan Peele
is yes.
the voice of the Duke Ellington.
Oh, my God. Duke Ellington is so good. Oh, my God. He's so racist against himself and so dated. And the coach there, Coach Sylvester, he plays predominantly in the second season. He's so pathetic. He's like a 47-year-old man.
Sorry, I'm interrupt. David Thewlis plays the voice of the Shame Wizard.
Yes.
He was Ares in Wonder Woman.
Oh.
Yeah, he nice. Plays. He played Ares on Wonder Woman.
I knew the voice sounded familiar.
And I guess cameo in Justice League as Ares. I don't know.
So I believe that puts him in Harry Potter as well.
He was in the Deathly Hallows Part 1 and 2. Yeah. He was Remus Lupin.
Yep. The lycanthrope werewolf.
Yes.
Yeah. He's a good guy. Yeah. Oh, my God. Seriously, everybody should be watching this show because it's very poignant about the things that these kids are going through. You know, these 11, 12, 13-year-olds. Puberty and lack of puberty, you know.
Puberty sucks.
You know, this poor kid who has two pubes and they each have their own voice and then one of them falls off. And it's this tragic thing of watching it fly away and, oh, you know, he's dead now.
Yeah.
So now he's only got one pube and he's worried that he's never going to hit puberty. And then you've got, you know, the main kid there who just can't stop jerking off. And his dad, he was, what was his name? He was the guy who was suing Turk on Scrubs.
Oh, yes. He was also on Spin City.
Spin City.
Yeah, he's been on a bunch of stuff.
Yes.
He plays a
very distinctive voice.
Yes. Yeah. I can't think of his name now, but yeah, I know who you're talking about.
His dad is a fucking riot. He's in the first season. He's in the second season a lot. And he is just an absolute riot. Seriously, like, everybody should watch this show. This was one of the best shows I've watched in a while. And you got to watch second season, dude.
I will.
You got to. It's so good.
They're like 20-minute episodes, right?
Yeah.
I plan on it. It's only 10.
Yeah. So it's basically 5 hours.
Yeah.
If you were Jeremy, you could bang that out in 3.
Most likely I could.
Daredevil's coming back this week.
Daredevil is coming back this week.
Is it this week?
October 19th, next Friday. Next Friday, yeah. But this Saturday, this Friday, though, the 12th, is on Hill House.
Yes. Oh, shit.
Yeah.
That's going to take up some time.
Oh, it is.
And we're going to be recording next week on, like, Monday or Tuesday, so.
Yeah.
Wow.
Probably Tuesday.
Well,
let's see here.
I'm going on Saturday night to see a live presentation of Welcome to Night Vale.
It's an excellent podcast.
Yes, it is.
Oh, speaking of podcasts.
Yeah.
You need to go listen to a podcast called My Dad Wrote a Porno.
My dad what?
My Dad Wrote a Porno.
Oh, okay.
It's this for erotic literature.
Mm.
It's this British fellow and his two friends, and they're in the season 4 now, and I actually went back to season 1 to start with the first episode. And basically, this guy's parents love to self-publish, and they do all these self-published travel books. Well, his dad decided to do a porno. Excuse me. And each episode's about half an hour. And basically, he sits down, and he reads a chapter out loud. And him and his friends basically rip it apart.
Or
riff traffic, if you will. Or they really destroy it.
Nice.
And it is hilarious. And, of course, they have British accents, which makes it funnier.
Absolutely.
And it's British grammar, if you will, which makes it funnier.
Yep.
But
they don't go in an elevator. They go in a lift.
Right. So we've just gone through chapter – I think I'm in the middle of listening to chapter 5. And there is actually yet to be any sex other than lesbian sex.
Okay.
But there's just been, like, really just – You literally need to listen to it. It is hilarious. Sometimes I just sit there. I have to pause it because I'm laughing so hard. I can't hear what they're saying. And like,
has the book made money?
I have no idea.
Okay.
It's like $2 on Amazon, so probably not. But it's called Belinda Blinked.
Belinda Blinked.
Yeah. And they kind of discuss that title quite a bit and can't really quite figure out. And this is like, you know, back in the day when we were teenagers, you know, 20-something years ago, we had something called, like, Penthouse Forums.
Yes.
And you'd read that, and it was really intense, really good. There was nothing intense or, like, erotic about these, actually, at all. Most of it doesn't make sense. And one of my favorite lines in it is, I think it's the second chapter or something, where he goes, and as quick as that, she took off her bra and underwear.
And his friend goes, as quick as what? And he goes, I don't know. It's the start of a new paragraph. And then they read a little bit more. It's like, they don't establish what that was quick as at all. No, he didn't. It's things like that. But even more funnier, you know, like when they're talking about just vaginas and boobs and just everything else. And there's this one line that he reads it and he just stops and goes, oh, Dad. You know, like, oh, and they don't say what his dad's real name is. They use the pen name his dad put on the book. Rocky Flintstone. Yes.
I'm looking at the...
Yes. And it's just absurd. Like, in Chapter 4, Belinda, she works at, like, the Steele's Putt and Pen Company. And she goes to... She's at this tennis retreat weekend where they're supposed to meet new clients, but she's not allowed to wear a bra and underwear. She just has to wear tennis shorts and shirt. And then... She gets, like, handcuffed to a trestle and left there, and then new clients come up and basically, like, and it's just, like, this is normal. This is how business works. No, it's not. It's just, it's not even good. Like, it's funny. It's really funny. It's called My Dad Wrote a Porno. It's definitely worth listening to.
Nice.
It's hilarious. Yeah. So that was the podcast that...
Gotcha.
Kate brought up earlier because she got a coworker told her about it. Mm-hmm. And then she texted me immediately. She listened to an episode and texted me immediately. She's like, you need to listen to this podcast. I was like, all right, whatever. It's got a catchy title. And then I did. And I was like, oh, no, I have to. No, I want to binge listen to it.
Yeah.
And I'm finding now that like all my other podcasts are backing up and like, I'm falling behind now because of this, because I want to hear why Belinda blinked, which I think, He's using the word blinked instead of wink.
Mm.
So it doesn't make any sense. But her last name is like Blumenthal.
Oh.
Mm. Yeah. Yeah. It's like he used a name generator.
Right.
Or something. But anyways, I'm selling a podcast on the podcast.
Yes, you are.
Yeah. I watched a trailer for the new Clint Eastwood movie called The Mule.
Okay.
Go watch the trailer.
Okay.
Clint Eastwood's like 88. He filmed this probably when he was 87. He plays a drug mule.
Oh, so he's not directing and he's...
No, he's the star. He might be directing, I don't know, but he plays a drug mule.
Okay.
Who's like doing this for his family. And it, honestly, like, it looks badass.
Yeah.
It looks excellent. Yeah, you got Clint Eastwood doing Clint Eastwood voice. I mean, it looks good.
Nice.
Because he's basically...
I want to see Clint Eastwood versus Liam Neeson's.
Well, I don't think they could have a fight scene, but... Well, look, did you see Gran Torino?
No.
What?
No.
Why not?
I don't know. Didn't look that interesting.
Oh, it's
excellent. I saw the preview a million times of Clint Eastwood doing the, you know,
okay,
the scowly face.
No. Okay, first of all, it's excellent. I don't know, I felt like I had a bug on my leg or something.
No, I was looking at the thing
that's on the... Oh, it's a magnet. It's a magnet.
Okay.
Okay, like, why am I bleeding? All right, anyways. Gran Torino is excellent.
Okay.
And exceptionally racist.
Yeah.
Yeah, Clint Eastwood
plays... I think I've heard both of those things.
He plays an old, like, retired auto worker. It takes place in Detroit. And he was in Vietnam, apparently, or Korea, one or the other. And so, like, there's an Asian family that lives next door, maybe even across the street. I don't know. And he... I'm like, every inappropriate Asian nickname you can think of, he calls them.
Nice.
Yeah.
Well, not nice as in like...
No. But, and then like, he also makes fun of black people. It's great. You just watch the movie.
Okay.
It's fantastic. He plays, because he basically like, you know, sometimes we watch a movie and there's an older actor in it and he's trying to still be young and hip or have fight scenes or something and it doesn't work out or it doesn't look good or you can tell they put a stand in or whatever, you know what I mean?
Right, yeah.
No, this is just him being Clint Eastwood and he's a badass, but he's an old man who's playing an old man and knows he's an old man.
Okay.
Type of thing. And that's the same thing in The Mule. Like, he's still, like, putting on an awesome performance and he's still kind of a badass, but he's still playing an old man. It just looks good.
Nice.
I watched the trailer you showed me.
Two of them.
Two of them, yeah. Pet Sematary.
Yep. Remaking Pet Sematary.
I had no idea they were remaking that.
I didn't either.
It comes out next year.
Yep.
It looks really good.
Yeah, it does.
It looks super duper creepy.
But basically, if you read the book or you've seen the original movie, you look at it and you go, oh, yep, I know what's coming.
Yeah.
You know, when the tanker truck goes screaming by, you're like, oh,
Gage,
how's it going, buddy?
But it looks good.
Yep. I'm looking forward to it. The other one, Netflix coming out with a new series called Haunted.
Yeah.
It's supposed to be recreations of real people's hauntings.
Yeah.
You know, ghost stories and stuff. Looks like something you'd see on that. What was that channel that Amy always used to watch at the RCC? I want to say Discovery, but it wasn't. It was like
the ID or something.
Yeah, like that. Yeah. ID Network. But a little higher budget.
Yeah, it's like, I don't know what that investigations and something is stood for. I don't know. It didn't matter.
Those were the only trailers that I watched.
Did you see? You had to have seen Vice, the one about Dick Cheney.
Oh, I didn't want to.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. I saw the whole, you know, look what he looks like as Dick Cheney. Okay, great. I'm not that interested. Got any news?
Evidently, James Gunn's writing Suicide Squad 2.
And Dave Bautista really wants to be on it as Bane.
Where do I sign up? So,
he can be powered down Bane, but I want to see a CGI full Bane like they do with Hulk.
Like they do with Hulk, yeah.
That's if they even get this movie off the ground. I mean, DC's floundering, you know?
What the fuck's wrong with Marvel getting rid of James Gunn, though? I mean,
it's Disney is what it is. It wasn't Marvel. It was Disney. Yeah. Do you hear that they've given an official title to the latest Rambo movie?
Nope.
Rambo 5, Last Blood.
Oh, Last Blood.
Yes.
I like it because the first one was First Blood.
But the first one wasn't Rambo First Blood. It was just called First Blood.
Yeah.
Yeah, this one's Rambo 5. It might just be called Last Blood.
It's kind of like Indiana Jones was not called Indiana Jones. It was called The Last Crusade. No, the first one was Raiders of the Lost Ark.
Yes.
You know.
And then it was Indiana Jones and the Temple of Doom.
Right. Same thing with Star Wars.
Yes.
It was just called Star Wars.
Yep. That's how everybody knew it. And then they were like, well, it's actually A New Hope.
Yeah. So, going back to podcasts.
Yeah.
I listened to this podcast called What Really Happened, where this guy looks into, like, kind of unexplained stories or whatever, but it's not a supernatural business. It's just like, in this most recent one, he talks about the movie John Carter and what really happened with that movie and why it flopped and the things behind it or whatever. It's kind of like it's a documentary, but it's audio.
Okay.
It's like 2.5 hours long, this episode, though, on John Carter. But it's really, really, really interesting.
Okay.
If you want to listen to it spaced out, I would, because I have never seen the movie and I have no interest.
Okay.
But I almost want to see the movie now after listening to this podcast.
Hmm. Interesting.
Yeah. Let's see what else. Oh, I watched a couple movies.
Oh, did you?
Yeah.
What'd you get?
Well, okay. So on, I think it's Netflix, there's this Roger Corman, like a 30-minute short film called Splatter with Corey Feldman.
Okay.
It was fun.
Yeah.
Kind of cheesy effects, you know, killing people. It's worth checking out.
Yeah. So it's worth checking out, but it's just
Yeah.
Okay.
I watched Hotel Artemis.
How was that?
A little disappointing.
Okay.
You know, okay, so you watch the trailer.
Yeah.
And in the trailer, you think, you know, it's this hotel where it's kind of like the hotel from John Wick is what they're saying. Because Hotel Artemis is a hospital, but there's only like 5 rooms.
Okay.
And it takes place in 2028, and there's big riots have unleashed in L.A. And you know, you have to. Randall's in it, and Randall's not like, it's weird. I have a hard time seeing him as anything but Randall.
Mm-hmm.
And so in this movie, he's playing a very un-Randall-like character. I guess the movie was good. But it just wasn't what I thought. It was short, 90 minutes.
Oh, well.
A little under.
Yeah.
Actually. I can't give it a hard sell, though.
No.
It's more of a background movie.
Yeah,
I can't. It's more of kind of like a background movie. It's like, they had a great idea, but they didn't have the budget. And then they have the French there, girl there, Sophia Boutella, whatever. She had the razor legs from the first
season. Yes. Yep.
She's in it as, you guessed it, a hitman. But yeah, maybe it's because the hotel itself, I guess, is supposed to be a character.
Okay.
And then, you know, Jodie Foster, Dave Bautista, Sterling K. Brown. It was okay. I'm just going to go with it was okay.
Okay.
It was a little disappointing.
Mm-hmm.
Batista was good in it.
Yeah.
Which is odd for me to say, but Batista was really good
at it. I know how you hated him as a wrestler.
I did, yeah, near the end. But he was so good in Guardians.
Yes.
One and two, and Avengers.
Yep.
But he was really good in this as well. So I have to give him credit. He was really good in this.
That's cool.
I also watched Sicario.
Oh, two, the second one?
The Day of the Soledad or whatever it is.
Solado.
Yeah,
Soldado.
Yeah, whatever. Emily Blunt is not in this movie.
Okay.
Well, she was in the first one.
Oh, okay.
Because in the first one, it was like, she was kind of like the main character in the first one. And Josh Brolin and his team and Benicio Del Toro, they were kind of the secondary characters in the movie. And this one, Benicio Del Toro character is the primary character. Okay. And Josh Brolin and his team are there. And basically, they're trying to start a war between the Mexican cartels, and things don't go the way they planned. And then there's a kidnapping, and then there's double-crossing going on. And it's really good.
Nice.
It's really, really good. I really liked it a lot. I enjoyed this thoroughly, yes.
Did you like it more than the first one?
Yes. Yep, because actually, the parts of the first one I didn't care for, which was Emily Blunt and her character and her story,
mm-hmm.
wasn't in it. It was all Josh Brolin, and it was all Benicio Del Toro and their stories and everything. And they do kind of, they could make another one based on how this one ended. I just like Josh
Brolin. Which they probably will.
I just like Josh Brolin.
Nice.
He's just awesome and stuff.
Yes, he sure is.
He's an actor like, oh, he's in that? I'm going to check it out regardless.
Yeah.
Yeah, like when I was looking up this, I noticed he's in a movie called like The Legacy of the White-Tailed Deer Hunter or something like that. It's on Netflix, okay. Apparently. I'm going to check it out. I don't know what it's about. The Legacy of a White-Tailed Deer Hunter apparently hit Netflix in July. It stars him, Montana Jordan, and Danny McBride. So I'm going to check it out. I just got to remember to add it to my list.
Shouldn't be hard. You can probably do it right from your laptop.
I probably could. But last time I tried to do that, Netflix automatically started playing a trailer, and yeah.
Oh, yeah. That was funny.
Yeah. Anyways, did you watch any movies?
I did not. There's only one other thing that I really watched this week.
What was that?
That was what we went to see last night.
Oh, did we go do something last night?
Yes, we did. It was not a TV show. It was not a movie. It was a glorious combination of the two.
It really was.
Laid out before us in a live theatrical setting.
Yep.
Raw, rough, uncut.
Some flubbed lines.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
65 points. Oh, that's a 64. Ooh. Yep. We saw the very first stop of the world tour of Mystery Science Theater 3000 live.
I don't know if it's a world tour. Are they going to Canada? Because if they are, you can count it as world.
Yeah.
Okay. World tour.
I don't know.
International tour.
There you go.
Excuse me. I still cannot believe that the first stop of the 30th anniversary on the Mystery Science 3000 tour is in Portland, Maine.
I know.
Yeah. So, all right. We had great seats. Thank you, John.
Yes.
We got, we're on the aisle, but I mean, it was perfect.
Yeah.
So they have
right dead center. You could see everything.
Yeah, it was awesome.
We were not front row, but I don't think we would have wanted to be.
No. If you go on my Instagram, at Superstar Mel, I posted a couple pictures, and one picture I posted has, you can really see what the set looked like and everything in it. So if you want to check that out there, but basically like, They had the set where they had the whole backdrop was up, and they had like lighting down the sides, like these purple banners, if you will. But then in the center, you have essentially a movie screen.
Yep.
Which when they had the movie up, it took up the full screen. But when they did like the video games or the video openings or whatever, it only took up like the top three quarters, if you will.
Right.
And essentially, the show opens and it starts with the old original opening, like with the local channel it was on in Minneapolis, and it shows you the people that were on it. And then it shows you basically kind of like they combined all the opening credits over the years to one thing, and it shows you the different stages of the shows, the different hosts that were on, different people that were on it. And then it concludes with the new Netflix
logo
and opening and everything.
Yeah, because you kept seeing like the different logos for Comedy Central back when it was the Comedy Channel
Comedy Central when it was on Sci-Fi. I mean, yeah, it was really cool.
And they really put on a good show because, you know, if you watch an episode of Mystery Science Theater 3000, you know that there's always antics on the ship.
Yeah.
And then they go down the tunnel, you know, and you get the little, oh, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. And then they're back in the theater and they riff on a movie for a while.
Yeah.
And then we come back out and we have more antics on the ship. And that's what they did for us. You know, they would stand on the stage at the they had a whole like counter set up there.
Yeah.
And they would play a game show game. This was Jonah Ray, who is the new host,
yes,
and Joel, the original
host. The original host, yes. The first 5 seasons, and then he did season 10.
Yep. And it was awesome seeing him on stage there. And he was just very like, hey, man, whatever, yeah, you know. He was very laid back and relaxed.
So, but on the stage, they have like a wall that kind of comes out and separates it. And so that way they can have Crow and Tom Servo behind it, the puppeteers, so I can't see them, kind of like the Muppets. And then essentially it looks like Jonah Ray's leaning on a table or a counter or something. And so when it opens, Jonah Ray comes out first with the Crow and Tom Servo. And then he comes out to the front to show us his invention because they got to swap inventions, you know. And then we get – then they're going to do a game show because we get a girl comes out. She's the host.
She's the clone of what's her name there?
Right.
I can't think of her name.
I just want to say Felicity. Felicia Day's character, right?
No. I think she was Pearl's clone.
Oh, okay, Pearl's
clone. Pearl.
Okay.
Yeah, the older antagonist.
Oh, yes. And so she is out there, and essentially she's just...
She's the host.
She says, oh, we're going to do a game show,
mm-hmm,
and I have another contestant for you, and that's when they bring Joel out. And, of course, people go insane.
Yep.
And
the robots are like, you're not my real father.
Yeah.
You're not my real father either. What is going on here?
And then Tom, this is the guy that created us. And, like, Jonah is like, yeah, I think we all know who he is.
Yeah. You know? Yeah. Thanks for saying that for the people who didn't wander in off the street, don't know what's going on here.
So essentially, they make it like a game show.
Mm-hmm.
There's stops along the way. So, like the first section of the movie, Jonah and Joel have to.
They do it by themselves.
They just go themselves, and they have to riff. And they have like, I don't know, they do like 10 minutes of the movie.
Pop culture.
Or something like that. And they have to make, whoever makes 9 pop culture references then gets to pick who their robot riff partner is.
Yeah.
And then now they all go out back for the next section of the movie. And here's the coolest thing. So, like, of course, when you watch it on TV,
mm-hmm,
it's them sitting down in the front row of the theater, and you see the outline of the chairs, and you just see their shadows watching the movie. So how are they going to do that? Are we just going to see them sitting there type of thing?
Right.
Oh, no.
Nope.
They somehow have a thing where they run around backstage, and they sit down, and you are watching the movie, and you see the outlines of the chairs, and them sitting there, moving around, talking, whatever. So it's like, they're behind the screen so we can see their shadows, and they're still watching the movie. I mean, it's like you're watching it on TV, but you're live and in person.
It was phenomenal. And
yes,
you would miss jokes. You would miss lines from the show. You would miss riffs because people would be laughing so hard.
Yes. And
you know,
there was times when, like, you would miss complete audio chunks from the movie because people were laughing so hard. And incidentally, on this tour, they're doing 2 movies. In our stop, we got The Brain, which is a Canadian sci-fi flick, came out in 1988. And according to here, it's a film depicting a giant brain-like alien that terrorizes. And the plot is Dr. Blakely runs a TV show called Independent Thinkers, which is a Scientology-like self-help religious program. But he's not making his audience think anymore independently. With the help of an alien organism he calls The Brain, he's using brainwashing and mind control. The only thing that stands between them and the world domination is a brilliant but troubled high school student with a penchant for pranks.
And sodium!
This
movie's awful. Don't watch it.
I almost want to watch the movie just so I can see it.
You have fun with that. I will not be joining you.
I don't know. This was awesome.
This was
an awesome live event experience.
It really was, because they took something that should only work on a television medium, and they did it live and made it work.
Right.
It was great.
Yes.
They even had audience participation, and one girl got to go up there and do a couple of riffs with them at the very end.
which was cool.
Great. Yeah.
And then it opens with like Jonah and the robots on like a spaceship, and they're trying to put a satellite up to get a signal for Moon 13, and on and on and on. And so they have like the Portland skyline, because we're in Portland, Maine, right?
Yep.
So they show the Portland like skyline, which there's a small one, but we recognized it being native Mainers, and they kind of make fun of Portland a little bit, or talk. Oh, Jonah Ray calls it the better Portland.
Yes.
And
that was awesome.
Yeah. And so it was great. It was awesome seeing this live. Mm-hmm. And the coolest thing is there was such an eclectic array and mix of people that were there watching this. You had people our age, people much older than us, people way younger than us.
Yeah.
I mean, this show, it's been on 30 years, and it really has captured an audience of different people. And, you know, because there's people that watch it only seeing the Netflix, and you have people that have seen the originals and maybe not the new ones. And I saw one family where mother and daughter and father, at least I'm assuming father, were all dressed up. Mm-hmm. And the daughter was probably 15, 16, and she had on the jumpsuit and the whole nine to be like, you know, Jonah's character or whatever. And then like dad was dressed up like one of the doctors from the show, but they were all playing different characters. We saw one guy that built his own Tom Servo yep. robot, and
or probably bought it,
or either way.
Yeah,
but still, it was cool. It was a good environment. It was a real good environment. A lot of no one was being pushy.
Nope.
The place was packed.
Yeah, and nobody was like shouting stuff out or you know.
Yeah,
yeah,
yeah, and it was fun. They did take a 20-minute intermission.
Yeah,
which was surprising.
Kind of weird. Yeah.
But total from beginning to end was about 2.5 hours.
Yeah, that seems about right.
It was about 2.5 hours. It's a 90-minute movie.
Yeah.
So there was with the intermission, you know, there was the 40 minutes of extra of them doing the game show stuff out front and everything. And then they all come out at the end and thank us and everything. And it was really, really cool.
Yes.
It was a lot of fun.
I'm so glad that we went to
that. Oh, me too. Very cool experience. If it comes to your area and you have the chance to watch it, go watch it.
Yes, I agree completely.
Don't hesitate. And just for those who are worried, at least at the State Theater, they didn't say anything about not taking photos or
right.
or whatever.
Yep.
Because I obviously took pictures.
And they never stopped anybody.
Exactly. It was fun. Some of the riffs were absolutely hilarious.
Oh, my God. Some of them, there were one or two that kind of fell dead.
Yes.
You know, people were like, ah. But, my God, there were so many riffs that just, I couldn't stop laughing.
Yeah. There was, and then, like, and with the game show feature of it, they had to do, like, callbacks.
Mm-hmm.
And some of the callbacks were hilarious. Like, when the kid puts, like, this goo glue on a teacher's chair. And they're like, well, there was a time I put glue on the chair, man. I told him to stick around. And then they did a complicated callback to him saying that. And that made it was just, there was so much awesomeness.
Or the fact that they managed to, I thought I'd get sick of it, but they managed to continually make jokes, you know, Tight Squeeze by Calvin Klein.
Yes. Or, you know, all these different by Chanel.
Yes.
Yeah.
And they kept doing it over and over again, and I never got tired of it. I kept laughing.
Yeah. I thought it would get old.
Yep.
But it didn't get old.
Not at all.
Yeah.
Not even a little.
And then the movie helps with the cheesy acting, the cheesy special effects, the cheesy. And it was just, yeah. They made it awesome.
Yes, they did.
Some of my favorite riffs, though, were like little ones that, like, there was one particular I thought was hilarious, and I don't think anyone heard it or didn't get a laugh or whatever, but it's literally right at the beginning, and this monster kind of is bursting through this wall, and its hand breaks through a TV, and Jonah goes, oh, monster vision. And I thought that was hilarious.
And like, awesome.
And like no one picked up on it. And there's another and that was the other in the movie, everyone kept parking like assholes and they kept bringing it up.
Yes, they did.
Oh, I guess I'm supposed to just park wherever I want.
There's a spot right there. Yeah. You're seriously not gonna pull into it.
This guy pulls in a truck and like, but there's an open spot right there. Or like the cop who parked stupid and he's like, oh, I was gonna feel like when he's gonna write himself a ticket, was he gonna call himself back up?
Exactly.
But I thought it was great. And then there's another one where this white car pulls up real fast and slams the brakes on and he starts singing Beastie Boys.
Yes.
I can't stand it. And it was just like that guy. I mean, there were so many things that got a huge laugh.
Yep.
And I remember I read like they watch each movie multiple times before they they do the recording. So I wonder like.
So they basically have a script.
Yeah. So I wonder like how often did they watch this movie to come up with all this stuff?
Yeah.
And then it's like, but if they're doing it like night after night after night, I know they're doing two movies, but like, do they come up with new stuff as it goes along? Like, I would love to see one of the last shows to see how it compares
right.
to this show.
Yeah.
So, but
the other movie, by the way, is called Deathstalker 2.
Deathstalker 2. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
So, but yeah. And if you get a chance to go, go.
Yeah.
It was awesome.
It looks like, I was just looking at their page, they've still got seats left in Boston.
Yeah. They're doing two nights in Boston.
Yep. New York has sold out. But it looks like as they're going further south, there are still tickets available. So
I will say this. I think you could go and enjoy this if you are not a Mystery Science Theater 3000 yes. fan.
Yep.
Because it's a cool live experience, and it's funny.
And it's people making fun of a bad movie, which yeah. everybody loves.
Right.
Anybody can get
it. I had a coworker I was trying to explain what this was about to, and they didn't know what a riff track was, and they didn't know what this was. So I just queued up a thing on YouTube of some like some of the best clips, and she laughed and got the idea of what it was once I showed it to her.
Yeah. It's not a hard concept.
It's not a hard concept. It's basically sitting and ripping on a shitty movie.
Yeah. That's it.
But the iconic them being in the you know, the silhouette at the bottom of the screen, oh, like, yeah. that's key.
Absolutely.
And when you're watching it and you see that, it's awesome. So, anyways, I guess that's it.
Yeah.
So.
I'd call that a podcast.
Oh, I think that's definitely a podcast, yeah. We're on Twitter. I'm Superstar Mel.
I'm the Quantum Geek, G33K.
And hey, thanks everybody.
Talk to you next week.
That's first.